Yeah. Give it up. So good. As I said before, our whole passage this morning is Jesus' disruptive teaching about how he values children. But what's really, really disruptive is he teaches that we should become like him. And I think this passage is really important to understand because most of us are too grown up. Like if we're really, I think if we're really, really honest, most of us walk through life with this sense of it's up to me. I've got to figure things out. I've got to move things forward. This is all on my shoulders. And when we approach life like that, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is going to teach this morning. That if we approach life like it's all up to us, we will not step into this kingdom of life and flourishing. We'll walk through life with an incredible sense of burden and stress and responsibility. And not necessarily that responsibility, like I want to be really clear, responsibility is not a bad thing. What's a bad thing is carrying responsibility like it's all up to you. Like you don't have a good Father in heaven who's sovereign over your life and is actually moving things forward. So again, we're looking at Jesus' disruptive teaching about kids. It's in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. So if you want to turn there, love for you to do that. And we've been looking at Jesus' disruptive teaching in the weeks leading up to Easter. And the reason for that is we want to allow Jesus to disrupt the rhythm of our lives so that our hearts beat more in rhythm with him, so that we love more of what he loves and value more of what he values. And I've said this several times, but in case this is your first Sunday here, one of my prayers for 2024 is that our church would be marked by a wholehearted surrender to Jesus. I want 2024 to be a year where we as the people of God are rooted more deeply in the core teachings of Jesus and the kingdom that comes as we surrender our lives to him. And that by definition is going to be disruptive because currently we don't live in a culture that values the core teachings of Jesus. And this isn't just something that's going on outside of the church. This is happening inside of the church today. Did you know that according to a recent survey, 73% of people in our country who claim to be a Christian, so this is people inside of the church, don't believe that Jesus is an eternal being. They believe that he was created. So in case you don't know, that isn't a core teaching of Jesus. Jesus taught that he was eternal, that he was the one who created all things. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the core teaching about Jesus is that he was fully God, and then he came into creation to save us. And so what's going on right now is most people that claim to be Christians are actually building the foundation of their lives, same way that everyone else is building their lives, and then they're adding some Christian clutter to it to make it look nice. And it isn't leading to the kind of life and flourishing that Jesus promised. In faith, I believe that God wants that to change. I believe that God wants to do a unique, special thing in Northern Colorado during this time, to push back the darkness. Did you know that when you look through the history of God's work in the world, often revival takes place in dark places where the character of God isn't celebrated, and yet revival starts with the people of God. It starts with us. It actually starts with the people of God surrendering more fully to Jesus. And so this Easter, we're stepping into that more as a community. We're allowing some of Jesus' disruptive teaching to disrupt our lives so that we can surrender more to who he is. And this morning, we're going to look at what Jesus taught about children. So listen to this. This is Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So this passage was deeply disruptive then, and it's disruptive today because, by and large, we tend to value children not based on their present reality, but on their future, on their potential, right? The lens through which we see children is their value comes when they grow up, when they learn independence, when they can contribute, when they're self-reliant. And for a human being to become self-reliant, like, that's a long, long runway. And Jesus says, no. Children are valuable not for who they'll one day be. They're valuable as they are. And he goes even further and he says, look, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like them. And this isn't the only place that Jesus taught this. In Matthew chapter 18, the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus brings a child in front of them, and he says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the point? There isn't just an aspect of children that we're supposed to celebrate and welcome. There's an aspect to being a child that we're supposed to emulate. And so if you're a note taker, here's what we're going to look at this morning. First, we're going to look at Jesus' view of children. I think it's so important that we understand this as the people of God. Because there's a huge narrative that children are a burden. And in one sense, that narrative totally makes sense because they're costly, they're disruptive. And yet, according to Jesus, they're a blessing to welcome. So we have to understand his view of children. Then we'll look at this disruptive teaching that we have to become like them to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then finally, we'll close by looking at the key to cultivating the kind of childlike faith that Jesus is inviting us to have. So first, Jesus' view of children. The text is absolutely clear. Jesus is decidedly pro-children. Right, people, they're bringing their kids to Jesus, and what does he do? He welcomes them. He blesses them. He actually has a specific ministry of attentiveness and care for children. And this was disruptive because children were seen in that cultural context to have less value than adults. And that's like the normative narrative about kids and adults, right? Like adults, they're self-sufficient, they're autonomous, they like contribute, they're productive, so let's value them, and then children will kind of push them into that, right? Well, that like there's like a whole realm of study, right? Child and adolescent development. What's the narrative behind even that titling? Childhood is something to develop out of. It's not child and adolescent decline, right? That as you get older, you lose some things that maybe you shouldn't lose. It's like, no, like you got to get out of this. And you know, we'll see as we go that not all aspects of being adult are problematic. Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom and stature. And yet there are aspects to being adult that Jesus says we're to repent from, we're to turn from. So Jesus, he's welcoming children. And the disciples see this and they think, we have got to stop this. In general, if you're thinking you need to stop something that Jesus is a part of, you're just wrong. 100% wrong. Doesn't matter what your reasons are, and I'm sure they had reasons, right? Maybe Jesus was teaching and the kids were disruptive. Maybe there was a cold going around and they're like, ah, the kids are, like, they're coughing. But whatever the reason was, they were 100% wrong. Because Jesus thinks totally differently about kids. Jesus doesn't see them as disruptive necessarily. And let's just be honest. Kids, like, there is an aspect to childhood that is disruptive. There's this cover from the New York Times magazine that I just got to show you. It's a great picture. I love that because that is like such a great picture of not what kids just do to your friendships, but to your whole life. They are disruptive, and yet Jesus has this sense of like, no, you're to welcome the disruption. This moment in Jesus' ministry reminds me of a quote from C.S. Lewis. He wrote, children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. Something to remember. So what does this mean for us? What does Jesus' view of children mean for us as a church? It means that we must do everything we can to welcome and bless them. So here is my shameless, this is totally shameless, I've talked to Jesus about it, and he's okay with it, I think. So here's my shameless plug for the kids' ministry. Yeah, at least three people are excited about this, and hopefully by the end of this, more of you will engage. There's actually information in your bulletin this morning about how you can volunteer in the kids' ministry. And also, here is Jenny Gomez's email address. So again, totally shameless, but as I was thinking about it this week, I was like, man, we need a whole host of people in this church that value kids the same way that Jesus does. And this is going to be disruptive. This is going to be disruptive for you personally. This is going to be disruptive for us as a church to have a thriving, vibrant kid and student ministry. It just will be. Right? It'll be disruptive for you because you're going to have to step into it and serve. Maybe it means that you need to begin coming earlier on Sundays so that you can serve in the kids' ministry first hour and then attend worship second hour. Like, I don't know how it's going to look for us to increase involvement of people serving in our kids' ministry, but I know in talking to Jenny that it absolutely has to happen. We need the people of God here at Faith to engage and invest in our kids' ministry. Did you know that, Barna is this Christian research firm that looks at trends and statistics going on in Christianity. And in one of their most recent books, they wrote this incredibly troubling statistic. So listen to this, of all the children in our church this morning. So think about that. The kids that were up here leading us in worship, kids that are in the kids' zone right now, 72% of them will have given up on going to church regularly by the time that they're 20. Think about that for a moment. Nearly three-fourths of all of the children in our church, according to recent trends and statistics, will have stopped being in church by the time that they're 20. It's a story of what's happening culturally. And I don't believe that has to be our story. I believe Jesus is actually inviting us into a different story from this passage when he says, welcome children embrace children, like have a ministry of attentiveness to them, bless them. Did you know that Barna has also found that the number one indicator that a kid won't abandon their faith is not the budget in their kids' ministry? It's not the size of their student ministries. You know what it is? Older adults in their church know their names and are investing in their lives. That's it. Older adults know their names and are intentionally investing in their lives. So here's a question. How many kids in our church do you know? And what would it take to increase that number? Because I think one of the main reasons that I continue to follow Jesus is I had an older adult that took an interest in my life when I was a kid. His name is Otemo. He began serving in the kids' ministry when I was in fifth grade. And he knew my name. And he welcomed me every Sunday. And he walked through fifth grade all the way through my senior year of high school with me. He just would move up with me in different ministry capacities. It changed my life. Having an older guy in the church that I knew was praying for me, taking me out for coffee from time to time or out to lunch. He knew my story. He knew what I was wrestling with. In faith, I believe that we can turn the tide on what's happening culturally, but it will not happen without this congregation stepping in and serving in our kids and our student ministries. And it's got to happen. I was talking to Jenny about this past week. Did you know that in First Service, we don't currently offer all of our programming because we don't have enough volunteers? That is a problem in a church our size. That just is. Okay? So again, I'm just imploring you, if the Spirit of God moves in your heart and leads you into this, reach out to Jenny this week. Like, we should be able to next week restart our kids' ministry in First Hour. Do you realize we have like new visitors that come First Hour and we're like, sorry, nothing for you. That doesn't reflect Jesus' heart for kids. And that's something that I feel like we could really easily fix as a church. And if you're like, you know what? Not really a kid person, repent. Like, I think that would be Jesus' word for you because he was a kid person. And you, like, it's fine. Like, hey, safe place. You're welcome as you are. Everyone, welcome as you are. But Jesus loves you way too much to leave you there. And so the invitation is to step deeper into his heart. And his heart is decidedly pro-kids. Second thing that we see in this passage is Jesus doesn't just value kids. He tells us that if we want to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to become like them. And again, that is so disruptive because we tend to think the goal of life is to grow beyond childhood, to become self-sufficient, to become less needy. And to be sure, there is a goodness in being an adult. Like, the Bible definitely values maturing. Jesus himself grew in wisdom. So there are aspects of growing up that are good, but there are aspects of being a child that Jesus doesn't want us to move beyond. And if we do, he's really clear. We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what is it about being a kid that we're to imitate? Let me give you a few categories. First is kids are helpless. So every child born into the world is born in need, right? In need of care, in need of attention, in need of love, in need of nourishment, in need of training. No kid survives the first years of life without intentional help. Think about this. Like, fish are not like that, right? Like, fish, they come together, they do their thing, and then the parents just like leave. And in general, like, the fish population does just fine. Human beings are not like that. Like, we're born helpless and we stay that way for a really, really long time. And Jesus is saying, if you want to enter in the kingdom of God, you never move beyond your helplessness before God. Like, you never get to a place spiritually where you're self-sufficient, where you're reliant, where you're not in need anymore. That isn't the gospel. The gospel is we are broken, we are sinful, we are foolish, we're like hard-hearted and stubborn. We are desperately in need, and yet the God of this universe saw us in our need, and he came to save us. And if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to maintain that sense of helplessness. And you not only have to maintain it because it's there, it's a reality, you have to celebrate it. So many of us go through life and we wish that wasn't true about us. And Jesus would be like, come on, you're a kid. You're still helpless. You're still in need. Don't think that you can move into this realm of self-reliance. And if you do, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't experience the kind of flourishing and freedom that Jesus wants for you. So the first aspect of children that we're to imitate is this sense of helplessness. The other sense is just deep trust. Kids have to trust other people for everything. Their food, their lodging, their clothes, right? They go through the first like years of their life in this position of trust and dependence, and we are to have that for our whole life with God. God, I need you. I need you to provide. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct my paths. Like, I don't know. I don't have the wisdom. And I think when you bring helplessness and trust together, it brings you into this childlike playfulness. Everything's not up to you. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to have all of the answers. You can rest and you can play because you know you have a Father in heaven that's sovereign over everything, and he's good. And he's looking out for you. I think the antithesis or the opposite of this childlike faith that we're supposed to have is what takes place immediately after this in Luke's gospel. And it's not just in Luke's, it's also in Mark's and in Matthew's gospel when they record the story. So right after Jesus talks about being kids, do you know what takes place next? This rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. And I used to always view this story through that lens. It's the story of the rich young ruler. I think it's actually the story of someone that grew up too much. He comes to Jesus and he's alone. So he doesn't have like a group of friends that he's running through life with. He's got this perspective that it's up to me. Right? I'm self-reliant. He's made it, right? He's made it socially. He's made it financially. He's made it morally. And he comes to Jesus, and he comes with one of the most adult questions you could ever ask. Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? That's an adult question, right? Jesus, what are the deliverables? What do you want from me? It's not what kids ask. What would a kid ask? You want to play? And yet he thinks, man, it's up to me. It's on my shoulders. And I think Jesus actually invites him to play. Right? Because Jesus says, you want eternal life? Go get rid of all of the things in your life that represent your independence from God, your self-reliance. Right? Go get rid of all of those things, sell them, give it to the poor, then you come follow me. And we're told that he goes away sad. And for years I read that and I think, it's because he's too greedy. I think it's because he's too grown up. I think it's because he really thinks it's not how you interact with God. You've got to do something. You've got to earn something. It's got to depend on you. And so when Jesus invites him to get rid of all of the things that represent that kind of self-reliance, it's up to me, I've made it, I've arrived, when Jesus says get rid of that, he's like, I can't. And the tragic thing is he misses out on the kingdom of God. He misses out on this dynamic relationship with the God of the universe who loves him and who wants to lead him into flourishing. This relationship with a God who sees what he needs. It's not like he doesn't need wealth, but God wants to provide it for him. I came across this passage in this past year, and it changed my life. So let me tell you a little bit of my own interaction with this passage. So as most of you know, it was about a year ago that I stepped into my lead role here. And I would just be dishonest if I told you that the last year of my life has been easy. It's been one of the most challenging years of my life. Now, when you hear that, don't get me wrong, not going anywhere. I love my job, but there's a complexity and there's a cost that comes with it. And I'm a pastor in northern Colorado, and it's just hard soil here. Like, in general, people are apathetic to the things of God. You know, they kind of keep people and spirituality at a distance. And there have been many, many days when I've been walking into faith and I'm talking to Jesus and I'm just like, all of this is just in vain. Right? Like, I don't need this stress. I don't need this pressure. I don't need this sense that nothing that I do really matters. Like, Jesus, I'm moving to Texas, the Bible Belt, and I'm going to be a teaching pastor. Like, that would be easy. I remember last October, Liz and I were on a date, and I just said, babe, I don't think I can do this for 20 years in a sustainable way. Because, like, the pressure, it was, like, real. And the stress was there, and you know, I'm having to manage budgets and staff and think through, like, where do things go? And I was on the men's retreat last October, and the facilitator walked us through this passage. And the thing that hit me is, and it was just the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Charlie, you're way, way too much of an adult. You got this new role, and now you think it's up to you. You have to figure it out. You have to have all the answers. You have to move things forward. And as I was processing this and praying through this, I said, God, what do I need to hear from you in my new role? And what came was, I love you, and I'm inviting you to play. And I stepped in then, starting in October, and the stress and the burden and the pressure all evaporated for me. Because it was like, I don't have to have the answers. I can step in with the staff or with the elders, and I can say, I don't know. I really don't know. And we can pray and we can process things together and we can chart a direction, and it might even be the wrong direction. And it's okay. Because God's sovereign over this whole thing. And man, Faith, what I want for us as a church is to have that kind of perspective as we go through all of life. Like, this isn't just for me as a pastor. This is for you as a mom. This is for you in the business that you're leading. Like, this is for all of us. God's just inviting us to play. We don't have to have all the answers. It's not up to us to move things forward. We can come as kids who are in need, kids that are broken. We can come as kids that are helpless. And you know what happens when we come to God like that? We enter into the kingdom of heaven. He looks at us and he's like, hey, I'll take that for you. I'll manage that. You don't have to figure things out. You recognize that with all of the complexity of life in a fallen world, you will not figure it out on your own. But you don't have to. You can be a kid. And you can come to God in need, and you can trust him to provide. And you come with that kind of childlike faith, and Jesus says you enter the kingdom of heaven. Man, that's where life's found. And so as long as the Lord gives me here, I'm just gonna keep inviting us to play and see where the Lord takes us. Right? We'll plant churches. We'll move ministry forward. We'll send missionaries, but we're not gonna do any of this kind of work as if it depends on us. Because it doesn't. We've got a Father in heaven, and his heart is for us. And so on repeat, I'm just gonna say, hey, let's play. He has promised to build the church. He's promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. He's promised that the gospel will spread throughout this earth, like the ocean covered, like waters cover the sea. And you guys, he's just said, like, come join me in this work. So again, over and over and over, the invitation for your life, for the ministry of this church, is going to be the good news that we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to figure it all out. We don't have to move things forward. We have a good Father in heaven, and we get to be his kids. Pray together. Father, what an amazing story you invite us into. So life-giving. Our souls just come alive when we recognize that we're in need. And we don't, Father, we don't want to say that begrudgingly. We want to celebrate that. Like, so often neediness and dependence is seen as something to avoid, and yet you say that's where life is found. And so, Father, we come to you needy, we come to you dependent, and we pray that you would give us the freedom to be kids in your kingdom. Take away our stress, take away our anxiety, take away our fear. Help us to believe that we've got a Father in heaven that sees, that knows, and that's just inviting us to play. And help us to then just get rid of all of the false things that we look to, whether that's our wealth, whether it's our possessions, our positions, like whatever we have to get rid of to create this sense of reliance on you. Help us to be willing to do it. Jesus, we pray over our kid ministry, and we ask that you would provide everything that we need so that the next generation knows that they're loved. Jesus, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand, and we're going to close by worshiping together.